Post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio is a sniffling, snuffling Lucy Zellich.
I apologise in advance, listeners, for my terrible condition. I've got a serious bout of hay fever that I've been battling for the last 2 days, so I'll try my very best to throw in my 2 cents of football knowledge.
And alongside Lucy, with 3 cents of football knowledge, is Paddy Bordier.
How free are you? Of disease, my friend. Free of disease.
I wonder how free you'll be after the show.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Price we pay.
Absolutely.
You can email us at flanagan.eamon@gmail.com or catch the podcast on the blog www.nearpost.blogspot.com or on iTunes. And we dedicate the show every week, and this week's no different, and somebody or something in need of dedication is the A-League. We dedicate this show to the A-League because...
Give us a reason why.
Well, the Daily Telegraph are getting stuck into it every day, and the crowds are... You know,
dismal.
They're dismal in many parts of the country, and also I guess the FFA have just rolled out 1.4 million into Brisbane today, and also they've taken over the stadium and match day running operations for the Gold Coast for the rest of the season. Things not looking too good. And, of course, it's all to do with the fact that they never gave Canberra an A-League team. That was another bad...
Big mistake on their behalf. Oh,
clearly.
Poor little A-League. Come on, little fella. You can make it.
There's life in the old dog, yeah. Okay, and we're here to help it along. Now, we've got a quiz question. Name any of the A-League players, and this is a bit unusual because you don't normally get A-League players in international teams, but name any of the A-League players in the last New Zealand-Bahrain game, either the players who were on the field or on the bench.
Hey, mate, did you hear that the Socceroos are going to the World Cup?
Really? How did you find that out?
Oh, heard it on the Near Post, mate. Listen in for all your Aussie football news on the Near Post.
Well, see, I don't know too many of them, unfortunately. My football knowledge is going astray there. I know definitely Shane Smeltz is one of them, but okay. I'm going to hand it over to Paddy, who seems to be a bit more knowledgeable in this department.
Well, I'm just going to go through the New Zealand / Wellington Phoenix team.
Okay, well, we've got
and
Shane Smeltz.
And they make
Shane
up the majority
Smeltz.
Of the national side.
I think there's a large chunk of it, about half the players, yeah. I think, yeah. If not more.
Out of the last 16 players on the bench or in the team on against Bahrain, there were 7 from...
There you go.
From the A-League team. Wow.
Yeah, so not all from New Zealand, not all from Wellington Phoenix, but anyway, go on. Shane Smeltz, you got?
Leo Bertos. Was Brown in there?
Tim Brown, yep.
The keeper, what's his name? Patson?
Mark Paston.
Paston, that's the one.
Guy from the Central Coast, do you know him?
A guy from Central Coast?
Yes.
New Zealander?
Yeah.
What?
No, and I've had this discussion before.
Former Celtic player?
Right. Now I understand who you know. I don't know.
Michael McGlinchey.
McGlinchey.
Thank you.
And
yes.
Anybody else? You got another?
Tony Lockhead.
Tony Lockhead. Well done. And any more?
Ben Sigmund.
Fantastic. And there's just one more.
David Mulligan.
Well done, Lucy. Tremendous. So there you go. For all those Kiwi fans, a big week, a couple of weeks coming up for football for
Looking
New Zealand.
Looking very forward to that one.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a great
game.
Come on, Kiwis.
Yeah, we'd love to see them at the World
Cup.
We want to play against them in the World Cup. But that's what we want.
We want them in our group.
The other team I'd like in our group, Uruguay. I think they're the 5th-place team in South America. And,
okay.
I think we could do that
right.
again.
Yeah. I've given this some thought, actually. I want England, Uruguay and New Zealand. That's the group that
They're
I dream
your
about.
Picks.
Yep,
yeah.
I'd love that
I'd
group.
I like those, actually. I'll tend to agree with you there, Paddy.
Doesn't even sound like the group of death either, does it? Okay, we've got some news around the A-League and around the world of Australian football. Ryan Griffiths wins the Chinese title with Beijing Guoan in front of 60,000 fans, which is a tad more than was at the Gold Coast. Joel Griffiths, of course, missed the game due to his 7-match suspension.
Meanwhile, Jason Kolina, fresh from taking on Liverpool in the Champions League last year with PSV, played in front of 2,616 fans for powerhouse A-League club Gold Coast United. Will he lose his Socceroos place?
Is it right to even call it the powerhouse club anymore?
No, I don't suppose it ever was, but...
oh, they were... Well, I remember a few near posts ago, we were talking them up. They can bounce back.
We talked them up, we talked them down. We'll talk about them, and we'll talk about Jason Cleaner a little bit more in a moment. A-League snub, 36-year-old guest player Roberto Carlos. His agent wants the FFA to pay his way. Surprise, surprise.
Ho, ho, ho. FFA give Brisbane Roar $1.4 million to keep them afloat, and the FFA will work with Brisbane to try and bring back the crowds, bring them on.
Wow. Lucas Pantelis refused to take the captain's armband from Travis Dodd in last week's game at Canberra Stadium. Perhaps the only highlight in the dullest game of football the capital has ever seen.
Now that's some news.
Yeah. Harry Kewell scores against Aussie Michael Petkovic's Galatasaray beat Sivasspor 2-0.
Scott McDonald plays as Celtic stay top of the Scottish League, but he didn't score in Celtic's 3-0 over Danny Invincible's Kilmarnock. Ollie Roo, Trent McLennan. Is it McLennan?
Yeah,
is that what you say?
McLennan.
Yeah, McLennan, yeah. Was replaced after 72 minutes for his side, Hamilton Academicals. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Carl Valeri, out again at Grosseto. David Carney gets 4 minutes at FC 20. Matthew Spiranovic didn't play, but Dario Vidicic came on for Nuremberg in the 55th minute. They drew 2-2 with Werder Bremen, and Nathan Burns played another full game for his Greek second division side, AO Kirki.
All right. Lubo Milosevic is back for the Jets Wednesday night's game against the Phoenix. The winners could go into the top six at the expense of Adelaide.
Mm. Adelaide's rising star Matthew Lecky will miss the up-and-coming Aussie under-20s trip to Indonesia. He's out for a couple of weeks with a hamstring.
Gold Coast to reopen all sides of their stadium and to reduce ticket prices from the exorbitant $45 per seat. Insane.
And go to halftimeheroes.com.au to get the latest Halftime Heroes, which has some of the best Aussie fan blogger writers that you could ever hope to see or read. And finally, 442.com, Fiona Crawford writes a wrap of the W League every week, and you can always hear the Canberra United W League games with Russ Gibbs and our very own Lucy Zelich and Marin Sherwood calling all the games on the 2XX station.
And just a reminder too, they're only the home games that we call, obviously. So.
Oh yes, 2XXFM.org.au if you want to catch your football. This week we had... talk about the games on the weekend. Brisbane Roar, Newcastle Jets, one each. Ange Postecoglou, has he changed the Roar yet?
Apart from telling them to play harder, I don't know that there's much difference between him and Farina. See last week's show for my comments on Postecoglou.
No, they're still down the bottom. They're on the second bottom of the table, so we'll have a look at their game coming up in a moment. Central Coast Mariners 0, Adelaide United 0. Lucy and myself, we were at the women's game that preceded this, Central Coast Mariners versus Canberra United, but neither of us stayed for the blockbuster game.
No, and again, another choice of words there, blockbuster. It was probably one of the reasons why I didn't stay. No, that wasn't the reason. I did have a few things to get to after the game, unfortunately. But, Eamon, your thoughts on the women's game, considering that you stayed for that?
Well, I enjoyed the women's game. I mean, I enjoy all football games, but I thought the Canberra United team... the Central Coast Mariners are quite... They're stronger than everybody thought this season. They've mm-hmm. beaten Sydney, they're top of the league, or second place in the league. Canberra United have got a few younger players, but they came out strong. They got an early goal, gave them a penalty, so that mm-hmm. was good. But then the Mariners kind of took control of the game, I thought. But to Canberra United's credit, they came back strongly towards the end of the first half, and really in the second half it was perhaps more than even in United's favour, and perhaps we should have been able to, you know, with a bit more prowess in front of goal, we could have got a winner.
Exactly, and they had so much opportunity to actually do that. And one of the unfortunate things was that towards the tail end of that first half, when they did concede that goal, I thought they started to get a bit complacent towards the back half there, and they started to get a little bit too comfortable, and they weren't dropping back enough in defence. That's where I saw there was a bit of a problem. Sian Maczewski, again, she unfortunately had a bit of a terrible game, whereas she's normally the standout for Canberra United. But Sheng Tsuo, I mean, she is, to me, in the games that I have been fortunate enough to watch with the girls and commentate on, she's such an outstanding player.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, to see her skill, in the men's game, the women's game, any player with that sort of skill, you know, it's just fantastic.
Absolutely, absolutely. And her footwork, she's so technically gifted and such an asset to that team. So it was a really interesting football game to watch.
In fact, she should have stayed on the park for the next game because...
I think they should sign her up.
Well, the guys on Fox Sport keep talking about Canberra Stadium is a great place to come and play football, but I didn't see any in the next game. I watched it on TV. And the Central Coast Mariners Adelaide, I mean, Sheng should have stayed on because...
She should have,
there
yeah.
was just... They couldn't play a pass hardly all night.
And, two teams out to prove them wrong.
I mean, and talk about entertainment. There wasn't any. I mean, the most exciting bit was when your man Pantelis didn't take the arm down from Travis at all.
It's important to make a stand, and if you want to do it in the middle of a football game, well, then so be it. Yeah.
So Central Coast Mariners, Adelaide 0-0. No excitement there. Gold Coast 0, North Queensland Fury 2. Robbie Fowler getting a couple of goals.
Fury coming back after a 5-0 beating at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they're doing okay, aren't they? They're just outside the top six, so they're looking a little bit stronger. Sydney Wellington, you caught this one. Paddy, Sydney 3, Wellington 1.
Yeah, I did see it. Sydney came out of the blocks. There's something about that team. I've been trying to figure out why they're so dominant. They keep a very good shape. Their passing is very slick. And Brosk and Bridge especially, are on fire at the moment and very, very difficult to contain.
Brosk is having a great season thus far, isn't he? He's really, when he decides to, I think that's what it is, he can sometimes get a bit lazy. But when he decides to turn it on, he is really quite a brilliant player.
Yeah. And Bridge as well. I mean, Bridge is keeping Aloisi out of the team.
You said that like that's a surprise. Like that's an achievement.
We're all shocked about that one.
Let me just state here now, for the record, Aloisi scored that penalty and will forever be my hero. He can do no wrong.
No, that's right. No, I agree. He is Australia's greatest sportsman ever.
We need to rip down that statue of Mal Meninga and then actually put up John Aloisi's statue there instead.
That's right. All grounds across Australia
should have one Aloisi statue. It's compulsory. Yes, yeah. I believe so.
Maybe apart from the Sydney Football Stadium, which I don't think anybody there. In fact, there's a big announcement tomorrow. Sydney have got an announcement about one of their players. It's a major announcement, it's labelled, and on the Sydney fan forum, I just noticed there's things like, God, please let it be Aloisi retiring.
So he's got a lot of support across the country doesn't he?
He has. And then he had a couple of chances on the weekend, which he missed. But Alex Brosk also, although he's playing well, he missed a sitter as well. He's only scored one goal this season. But he's playing well. You said, Paddy,
he's a bit of a creator.
I was just about to say, I agree with you there. He's more of a playmaker than an actual finisher, I think.
If he had the skill of finishing, I think he would be going somewhere in the European leagues because he can create, but he just doesn't kill the goal when it needs to be killed.
Yeah.
Paddy, you said Sydney were dominant. Dominant as in terms of top of the league or dominant in terms of the match?
Well, certainly first half they were dominant, and Wellington really didn't know, considering they'd played so well the week before, really know where to go. And it wasn't until the second half that Wellington actually got a foothold in the game, if you will, and started to press a bit more against the Sydney players and grab something of the match. But initially in the first half, it really was all Sydney. And I think there was a 20-minute spell where three goals went in, and there was just no coming back from that.
So do you think Aloisi's finally lost his place to the more mobile Mortbridge?
More mobile?
No, I think he's doing the right thing. He's doing the team thing at the moment, waiting till Bridge gets injured, and then he'll be in there scoring
his
hat-trick.
And then he'll get his chance again to come in there and, you know, score a million goals again.
Yeah,
that's right. It's a lot of money, isn't it?
It is.
A million goals for $1 million.
I mean, maybe he's looking to retire once they win the league at this end of this season.
Are they going to win the league?
I think they're going to win the league.
Well, with the way that they're shaping up, I mean, of course, Melbourne, they always seem to me to be that kind of team that towards the end of the actual season they start to kick into gear, and that's when they come out
hang
firing.
On, that's the next bit of the show. We'll get on there tomorrow. Who's going to win the league? Perth v Melbourne, we've mentioned Perth 1, Melbourne Victory 2. Again, I think outstanding player here was Archie Thompson. Absolutely brilliant game he had. I don't know whether you saw any of the game
highlights,
but he was absolutely brilliant and really took the game to
a new level.
To Perth.
What is happening with Perth at the moment? They've got so many good players. They're just
not doing anything against North Queensland
last week. Melbourne, they're not putting it together.
It's the final third, I think. They're just not able to break teams down. They're not kind of lacking a bit of creativity. Branko Jezić didn't play.
Yeah.
That might have made a difference.
What's that, Eamon? You're saying Eugene Daddy needs to get more of a game?
Eugene Daddy.
But a Perth are shaping up to be a bit like a Real Madrid. You know, they've got all the great players, but they're not being able to actually do anything with it. Is that the problem with
maybe
Perth?
So. Although they have a better back line than Real Madrid, I think.
That's debatable, isn't it? Tando Flappy is...
he makes up their back line,
Think about it, Tando's let in a lot of goals this season that has cost them points.
He's all about the spectacular goal.
He is,
you know, spectacular saves and spectacular misses.
The mediocre
misses.
Balls that are coming through, don't, you know, forget it. He's going to absolutely miss those ones. But the really spectacular ones, like you said, Paddy, forget it. He'll be all over it like
a rash.
He
missed one on the weekend that, you know, it looked a good goal. It was a good goal by Hernandez, but I mean...
It was a bit amateurish, would you say, Aaron?
Tando should have saved it, simple as that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know. Anyway, so Tando, a bit worried about him. But apparently the guy, Michael Pekovic, is from Perth, and he's heading home next year after the World Cup, supposedly.
Uh-huh.
So they reckon he might go to Perth. So anyway, that should inspire our Tando. We wish Tando well.
All the best.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a tough gig.
And he needs it.
He does need it. Although Perth, they're having their best season. They're in fifth place, so it's not all doom and gloom.
No,
and the crowds are up, so that's good. And, we like it when the crowds are up. Now,
we like a winner. That's the Australian public, really.
We do like a winner. Now, Lucy, you're ahead of us, as always, on the near poster. Sydney or Melbourne are leading the pack with 25 points for Sydney, 24 for Melbourne, Gold Coast 20, and then a big gap, 17. So Sydney and Melbourne, 7 or 8 points ahead of third place. Now, you asked the question, can Sydney win the league? Is it a two-horse race, do you think, Sydney or Melbourne? Are they the two?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, when you look at the other teams. And don't get me wrong, there's not a large gap in points, but these are the two teams that are... Sydney at the moment have just been going along very, very consistently, winning their games. They've got a good structure, they play well, and their front players are scoring a lot. Melbourne, like Lucy says, they get their timing right. They do this season in, season out. They're very, very good at making that run for the finals and peaking just at the right time.
And
but the other thing is, it's the teams behind them, like Gold Coast. You can't see...
They're gone, aren't they?
I think they're close to it. They're a mess. They can't even get people in the game.
I think one of the things for me with Sydney, I think one of the big changes they find, and you often, as the season goes on, teams sort of change their shape and change their players. And I think moving Carol Kissel out of the midfield and bringing in Stewie Michalak has actually... for me, Kissel wasn't doing it in the centre. He's a bit of a flashy player. He's a bit lightweight, but out on the wing, he scored a goal on the weekend.
He's much more creative.
I think
absolutely. He's got a bit of pace as well, so that adds to it.
And he's not so crucial if he makes a mistake. Whereas they brought in Michalak and McFlynn, and it just gives them a much more solid brace to go forward. And I think it also makes them a slightly more attractive side, I think, with Kissel out on the wing.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen Kofi Dunning on the bench or anywhere. I mean, after his great start, he doesn't seem
wonder what's happened there.
Yeah, that's right.
I
haven't heard he's got any injuries or anything.
No word of that at all.
He's been playing for the youth team, he's going overseas again next week with the young soccer, so whether they...
That has something to do with it, yeah.
I'm actually, this season I've been really glad to see Phoenix doing well, and also North Queensland Fury. I think are two teams that I think have got the basics right, that work very hard, and I think we're beginning to see better results.
So who are you shocked at then? If we're going to talk about, you know, you've obviously said that, you're glad to see them doing well, but who are you shocked that's doing well or poorly?
I'm shocked at the Gold Coast. I really am. Just initially, that huge spike, they were doing so incredibly well.
And
now they look
this.
Like they're
I've
just...
predicted this. Boys, I did.
They're falling down, you know. It's incredible to see a team just go through such highs and lows.
Is it Miron Blyberg? When he was at Brisbane, he had an exciting team, but they didn't do particularly well. They couldn't score, mainly because they had Alex Brosk as their forward. but in the second season, he was gone before you could say Alex Brosk. And then... Really, I wonder whether how good a coach he is, because he's set up a team now. Great, he's a great publicity man, but is he really a man to take a team through the ups and downs? And I would not be surprised if Miron sort of finds that he can't cope with the players or something. Because to me, he left Brisbane for 1.5 seasons in, or less than 1.5 seasons, and now the Gold Coast is sort of coming into their own troubled times. His teams are getting found out. He likes to play attacking football, but clearly, you know, despite what Craig Foster thinks, you can't do it all the time if you want to get a look at Sydney.
Now is when he earns his dollars, you know. His team is really struggling. His key player, Jason Kolina, is not producing the goods. He's got the players to make it, you know. He's got a good back line. He's got creative players, and he's got a goal scorer. If he can put it all together, and he should be... Ben Eder show himself as the coach he is.
What has gone wrong there? Is it what Eamon mentioned? Is it, you know, that they started off so well and now, you know, that unfortunately because Mirren is playing that a constant style of attacking football, is that what's letting them down? Have other teams finally figured them out?
I think possibly they have, but also they've lost a few players like Adam Traore and I suppose Adam Griffiths left early.
He did leave early on,
But they're still in third place. I mean, and look, any club that starts, you know, it's always going to take a long time to mould your side. Mm.
Do you think it's linked to Kalina's form?
Well, he's been poor, I think, hasn't he?
And he was sparkling early in the season.
The next question, will Jason Chelina lose his place in the Socceroos and has he made a mistake? Two questions in one. Has he made a mistake coming back home?
Well, if you judge a place in the Socceroos by your performances for the Socceroos and your performances for your team, he really is going to struggle to hold his place. He hasn't played well for the Socceroos and he's really not playing well now. It'd be difficult to justify him being in that team.
He wanted to come back and play in a more attacking game. I mean, I think we saw that in the first game or so, but really he's kind of not the all-out fantastic attacking player that perhaps some people seem to think he was.
So you would have to say then just a little bit overrated. I mean, when we look at his performances in the Socceroos, I mean, the last game I thought, well, he was almost non-existent on the pitch for me, and he just wasn't making any of the you know, the standard plays that we've seen him do before.
So funny, yeah, funny you should say that, because Robbie Slater always says as soon as he walks on the pitch, the best player for me is Jason.
Oh, yeah. Robbie is his number one fan. But, why, I don't know. I mean, suffice to say, Jason is a good player, but, you know, of late he hasn't been performing. So what do we attribute that to?
I attribute it to the league and the player. And I think he's a very good player if he goes overseas and he plays for a very good team, he can fit into that team. Mm. And he's sort of coming back, playing in the A-League, playing at Gold Coast, and now playing at that level.
So playing at different leagues, like, you know, obviously at the A-League now, has had such a demonstrable effect on him that he's not even performing up to national standards.
Could Verbeek be right, Lucy?
Could he be right? Well, I don't want him to be right. I never want Bim to be right.
No, I mean, it's an interesting one because, I mean, he's only played 12, 13 games, so is it possible that his fitness and has gone down
been
so
reduced
quickly?
That Maybe. Much? I'm a bit sceptical about that.
Look at the Socceroos kind of players in the A-League. Coyne, Stojovski, Kalina. None of those you would put in the Socceroos team at the moment. They're just not playing well
enough. They're not performing, yeah.
No, but Stojovski was in the team when he was not really playing at Derby, are they?
I mean, at least he was training with Derby. He was training with Derby.
Yeah, him would say it'd probably be better to train at Derby than to play full-time at the A-League, so...
Okay, should we bring... here's a quick couple of questions for you. Should we bring more games to Canberra, like the Central Coast Mariners game?
No.
No, why not?
Is it a waste of time? I mean, what are we looking at here? Why should they be bringing them down here? I mean, I think that personally for myself, even as a spectator, I feel like a bit bitter about the fact that we haven't been given a team. So should we be getting out there to support these players? I mean, I know that's, again, a bit bitter.
No,
but...
I agree. Look, you've got to have a long-term aim, and there just didn't seem to be a real major reason for what they were doing apart from giving Canberra some breadcrumbs, and it really doesn't work.
No. I had an email from Michael Flanagan, no relation, but apparently he's from the Central Coast, he's a fan, and he's disappointed that his team hasn't played at home until November the 16th for a long period because the home games have been brought here. Not a great way to build your supporter base.
That's
well,
right.
No, so they're obviously doing something wrong there.
FFA are sorting out Brisbane by giving them $1.4 million, and now they're also sorting out the Gold Coast. The deal is off, the stadium is now going to be reopened, and the FFA are going to control match day operations.
That's a good move.
And they're going to sort out the... you know, get into the ticket in, etc. But, you know, my question is, what are the FFA doing that they have to give Brisbane $1.4 million now and that they have to change the Brisbane prices as of last week or whenever it was? Mm-hmm. And now they're doing the same thing with the new club, the Gold Coast. I mean, aren't the FFA supposed to be on top of all this stuff beforehand? And if they're saying they knew the fans were out there, but the ticket prices are $45, Brian Freddie knew that it wasn't going to work at those sort of prices.
I mean, how can they justify that? I mean, $45. I mean, you know, not even taking into account the fact that we're in what some people would call a financial crisis. But, you know, what was the justification for that?
More expensive than the Titans. I mean you want to get people in, don't you?
I think maybe they were believing the hype of the A-League. And I think, you know, I go back to this every single time. We're not a major sport in this country. And we've got to get the basics right. And we've got to get kids in the gates. And we've got to get the crowds in there.
Exactly. Oh. Build it up. Build it up from scratch. Like you said, we're a new league. We can't afford to be doing that.
No, I'd say we are a major sport, Paddy, but I know what you mean.
A major sport. We're not a major sport. Next week, Eamon. Next week at this table, you and me.
Okay, so I think it'll be interesting to see what happens there, whether it will increase crowds. But I think, really, you could almost write this season off for the Gold Coast in terms of crowds.
Absolutely.
If you're changing your pricing structure halfway through, what about the people who bought the season tickets, et cetera, et cetera?
Hey, yeah, how are they going to be feeling about that sort of thing? I'd be feeling pretty bitter.
Bitter?
Bitter? Bitter, I mean, again. I'm pretty bitter, bitter on the again. Show, aren't I?
Did your horse lose? Did your horse lose? And
I didn't punt on anything, no.
Hay fever and bitterness.
Okay, this week coming up, we've got tomorrow night Newcastle versus Wellington in Wellington. Who's going to win that one?
Wellington. I think they've got a big game.
Yeah.
Lubo's back.
Hey!
Lubo the mouse, or Lubo the lip. We haven't heard from him for a long time. He's gone very, very quiet.
I think less than that.
On Friday this week, we've got Adelaide versus Brisbane. Who's going to win that one?
Adelaide. Brisbane are all at sea.
Yeah, I'll agree with that one.
They're all at sea, okay. And Postecoglou will sort them out, no doubt.
It's Captain Postecoglou,
right,
I'll have
Captain
you know.
Captain Postecoglou, aye, aye, sir. Yeah.
Yes, and Melbourne versus the Central Coast down in Melbourne land.
Melbourne.
Come on. Melbourne. Why did we even pause for that?
Yeah. Well, last time Central Coast beat them 2-0 on the opening day of the season, you may remember.
Yeah, but again, you know, there's Melbourne
starting
off slowly.
How many goals can you score with tall players moving into the box, free kicks? Yawn, yawn, yawn.
Well, hang on. Actually, I can tell you, 13 is how many they've scored this season. And they've only let in 8.
Thank you very much for the stats there. Yeah.
Don't call me Statsman for nothing. Statsman Flanagan. Gold Coast versus Sydney.
Sydney.
Ooh, Sydney.
Sydney, Sydney, Sydney.
No, not about the game. How many people?
I say 1,500.
They're playing at the Gold Coast, are they? Yes. Well, you'd like to think that this is a bit more of a, you know, important match, a bit more of a blockbuster. Now, okay. I can use that word appropriately. So, yeah, you'd like
the
to
A-League
think
is on
will.
The case. The FFA is on the case. Ooh, should double those numbers.
Fingers crossed.
So we're predicting 4,000.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And Sydney to win, you reckon?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
And Mirren to stay another week?
Yeah, but isn't it funny now that you know, they've been on a bit of a losing streak? He's really piped down a lot. You know, I noticed that when they're doing really well, he's coming out guns blazing. You know, we've got the best team in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not hearing a lot of that anymore. So
I'd like to hear more from Mirren.
Yeah, we do. He's entertaining. Give him that at least.
He is, certainly. Who else have we got? Oh, we've got Wellington versus Perth again. So Wellington, another home game against Perth. Longest trip in world football,
that's
apparently.
That's correct.
Longer
really?
Even than... Yeah, apparently the other one is Liverpool-Everton, which is like 30 metres. And Wellington-Perth is about...
A little bit different.
I don't know, 8 hours, isn't it?
Yeah,
oh,
it's
okay.
Crazy.
Yeah,
you wouldn't bother, would you?
You think they're just ringing at forfeit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do in indoor football on Tuesday nights. So, why not do it in the A-League?
Why not? So who's going to win that one?
I think Wellington.
I think Perth. I'll go against you on that one, Paddy. I've agreed with you on everything else. Oh,
look, I want to Perth. I want Perth to win,
and
but
finally,
they're just doing badly at the moment.
Our experts, Newcastle versus North Queensland Fury.
Come the Fury!
Yeah, the Fury will.
Come on!
Yeah,
everybody's team
will.
This year, the winning is over with their play and their style and their... ethic,
and Fowler not being as fat as we thought he would be.
Yeah, not
he scored
as dismal
a great
as
goal,
yeah.
Weekend, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the penalty. He took the same penalty though, where the guy just, you know, I'm just waiting for the guy to stand there and go,
figure him out a bit.
He's going to look a goose.
Yeah. Finally, work it out exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's probably enough football for us for the moment. And next week, what have we got? We've got the internationals coming up towards the end of next week, which would be fantastic. Then the big New Zealand game, and of course the Aussies squad announced tomorrow for the game in Oman. Let's see if any of our wonderful A-League players can make the Socceroos. Maybe they will.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Get there first.